You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And if you're like the majority of people in America, you had a green bean casserole yesterday. That's right. 30 million green bean casseroles were expected to be served yesterday. And believe it or not, if you lived in Louisiana, 60% of you had part of one or a whole green bean casserole served. And the state with the least green bean casseroles, Hawaii, only 17% of people. But that's amazing. If you will, the average is close to 30% of people in America not only ate turkey, but they ate a green bean casserole. Where's your state? Ohio, 38% of us ate a green bean casserole. And what we want, that wasn't yesterday, that was Thursday, sorry, 2 days ago. And guess what? Today you should throw out your leftovers. That's right, get rid of them. We have a great show lined up for you today. I'm going to talk about avoiding the flu when you and colds when you travel, as well as a whole bunch of great health maneuvers. We have a wonderful guest in the bottom of this first hour, proteinaholic Gary Garth Davis, who wrote this book with Harold Jacobson. Our obsession with meat is killing us, and what you can do about it. Proteinaholic is the name of that. And at the bottom of the hour, even better, this is a fantastic guest. This one you would have to pay to see if you went anyplace else. But on this show, you're going to be able to talk to, if you want, Nick Webb. Nick Webb is an innovator with 40 patents. He'll talk to us about the Maker Program, why three third graders are really changing healthcare. That's right. This is the importance of hyperconnected economy in healthcare. He's had some amazing predictions and amazing success. Three distinct waves of change. His new book is going to be called Wave 3, How Technology and Connective Devices Will Change Your Healthcare. He has had incredible success, and we'll talk to him. He's at the bottom of the second hour. Most of us get 2 hours. You can always get 2 hours on RadioMD.com. Many stations, obviously, in Thanksgiving weekend, you may be away from your native station. But anyway, many stations just carry the first hour. Some stations just carry the second hour. Many carry all both together. But Radio MD, you can always get the archives and podcasts later on or at iHeartRadio. And I'm thankful for, I've got to thank for producer, if you will, Donna Gould, who sets these great guests up. And of course, Ben, who gets the production done well and who will connect our guests. I don't know if Gary Ginsberg's going to be here. Haven't been able to contact him. I think he's still overloaded with turkey. In any case, we've also got some questions, but the extra on leftovers, one, there's a 2-2-3 rule. What's the two rule? Two, put them in the refrigerator within 2 hours. Get them below that magical 40 degree temperature. You don't want it between 40 and 140. That's what happens when it's left out on your stovetop. If you did that, throw it away right away. Second, 2 inches. It shouldn't be more than 2 inches in a dish. That's the way to get it cold fast enough. And three, throw it out on the third day. Don't get to the fourth day. So 2-2-3, today's the third, right? Friday, you had it on Thursday, so that's day one. Friday's day two. Saturday is day three, so get rid of it today. Eat it today or else get rid of it. And I hope if you put your stuffing in the turkey, you turned the thermometer on and got the stuffing inside to 165. It's not only the turkey meat, but the stuffing, because it gets that bad stuff too if you don't do it. So those are some of the tricks. So we're going to talk, that was the extra on leftovers. Second, we're going to talk about how to avoid the flu and colds over when you travel. We'll come back to that in a few seconds. Are good doctors bad for your health? And who should be on your medical team? Well, guess what? We're going to talk about that on December 5th. So I'm giving you a pre-read of December 5th. And we're also going to talk about traumatic brain injury on December 5th. Hope you can attend both of those on December 5th and get to those meetings, get to those key points. We're also going to talk about addiction and testing for it, as the Cleveland Clinic is doing random testing of employees. Why? Because, as we said last week, there's a huge addiction problem in Ohio and in the United States. 17% of us are exposed to addictive drugs or narcotics, and many of us are getting addicted and not living because of it. We'll talk about, and that's why we're doing randomized, we'll talk about how go spicy to beat the usual 1 to 3 pound holiday weight gain. You've made it through Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're walking around today and not just wallowing in the food left over from Thanksgiving and yesterday. But if you're on a right path, you will say, what do I need to do to avoid the 1 to 3 pound weight gain that is so common over the holidays? We'll tell you about that as well. Toast and cancer. We'll tell you not to worry about this scary headline, but there is a scary headline and scary story about it. We'll also talk about the color-changing dressing that tells you when there will be an antibiotic resistance and what you should do about it when you put that dressing on. And does inflammation in your gut cause depression? Well, the data supports that, and what you can do about it is another part of the story. We're going to talk a little bit, probably next week, about the best potential diet, and pregnant mothers who consume a high-fat, high-calorie diet put your babies at risk for asthma and obesity. So those are some of the key points we're going to get to today. Now, I want to get, and we'll also, I've got a couple of wonderful questions you've sent in. These are really good. Lamar P. in Baltimore, you get the award because you have the best question of the week. You can always send us questions at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. Ned T. in Arlington, Texas, you didn't win the best question of the week because Lamar P. did. So those are two of the questions that were sent in. I've got a question now sent in on the email line, udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. They said if 60% in Louisiana had green beans, how many pounds of green beans are consumed over Thanksgiving? And the answer is, I don't know. But it is clearly about 30% of us have green beans. What is the top dish that is served with the green beans? That is, what is the top side that comes with the green beans? Well, this is interesting. What do you think it is? We'll come back to that, but I think I know what it is. The top side, it looks like, is bacon. Ugh. Ruins the green beans. Number two on the list is good, mushrooms. Four on the list, grilled onions, pretty good. Five, almonds, should be walnuts, as walnuts were a top substitute this week. One of the top things that changed in diets across the United States that improved diets was putting walnuts into your Thanksgiving dish, no matter what the dish was, whether it was a casserole, whether you were grinding up the walnuts and topping the turkey with it, that is, putting it on the turkey as part of the, if you will, gravy or ladling it on, also was good for putting walnuts in the stuffing. You can go to walnuts.org for a whole bunch of other great recipes. So when we come back, we're going to talk about taking, I'll first talk about avoiding colds and flu over the holiday, and then we'll start going through these wonderful questions you've sent in. Again, you can always send us questions. Udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, and just write in the subject line, question for Dr. Mike, udocs at gmail.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top, which makes you feel bloated, sick, and tired all the time? then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly Deep Dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, and we have a great show for you. You are listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And I almost got ahead of myself by thinking about how great a show. But I want to actually go into one thing. How do you avoid the flu? And then we're going to go to Lamar P.'s question from Baltimore, Lamar P. So traveling and social events bring people closer together, making all of us more vulnerable to the flu, colds, and other bugs. That's what happens when you travel on a plane, you're in close contact. When you travel in a car, you go to those rest stations and you're in close contact with other people. The bottom line on colds, flu, infections in general, is that bacteria and viruses go between people. You have to have a vector, and most times the vector is people to people. So what's the key? Well, it isn't just avoiding people. You don't want to do that. You don't want to avoid your Aunt Mary over Christmas. You probably didn't avoid your Aunt Jane at Thanksgiving. The key is to have some of that alcohol stuff with you, the hand sanitizer. I have it with me now. And wash your hands. Anytime you go near a sink, wash them. What happens if you're in the kitchen? Well, I hope you washed them a million times yesterday. And if you don't have it, use the hand sanitizer. And when you're on a plane, you can carry a small pack of that hand sanitizer with you, or little wipes in foil containers, and wipe down. The first thing you should do, wipe down that tray. That tray table has 8 times the bacteria and viruses of even the throne handle, which is the next highest thing on a plane. So it is. And how do you wash your hands? Well, obviously you know to sing the happy birthday song twice. So use the hand sanitizer when you get on or off the plane and anytime you touch someone. Now, what happens if you sneeze? Well, the average person who coughs or sneezes, and sneezes, the one MIT studied this. This is incredible. MIT studied the spread of viruses when you sneeze. Well, when you sneeze without doing it into a tissue or without doing it into your elbow, you can contaminate a 12 by 12 foot area. That's how impressive it is, and that's within a minute. What do you do to avoid things? So we talked about washing. We talked about hand sanitizers, sanitizing the area in front of you, because all of us will touch that thing if we open that airplane tray open and touch our face. That's one of the keys, not touching your face. But all of us do it. Kids touch it 50 times an hour, the average third grader does. The average adult touches it 12 times an hour to your mouth. So on average, the key is get sleep, get a multivitamin once a day, half a multivitamin once a day. So half a multivitamin in the morning, half in the evening, and then keep your physical activity up. But sleep, getting a few supplements, doing physical activity, managing stress, those are all key. And obviously, it's hard for us to manage it. And then, for gosh sakes, get the flu vaccine and get your vaccinations up to date. 42% of adults get the flu vaccine, 60% of children. It's not enough. We need 70 to 80% to avoid those flu-related diseases and avoid spreading the flu through our community. If you do get sick, remember, think of your fellow man. Try and avoid traveling. Try and avoid closed spaces. Stay home in those first 3 or 4 days. And if your child has a fever of over 101 or is not acting like himself, irritable or not urinating, take him to the emergency room or the urgent care center, and don't wait a day because he needs fluid, and make sure we all get enough fluid. So that's the summary on how you avoid it. Wash down things, carry the hand sanitizer with you, wash that thing on the airplane. If you're in a car, when you go to the rest stops, that's your most dangerous time. Make sure you wash before and after at every rest stop. Okay, let's get to the question asked by Lamar P., and I'll get the question, the second best question of the day, which was asked by, now I've lost the darn question that she asked. Here it is. It actually, I thought it was a she, but it looks like it's a he. It is by Ned T. in Arlington, Texas. But the best question, and you get a free, this is your do-over book, Lamar P. in Baltimore, Maryland, who asks, the new information on prostate screening and so-called active surveillance is confusing to me. Do I get a PSA? Do I still get a PSA test every year or not? And what do I do if the results indicate my PSA level is indicated? It's from Lamar P. in Baltimore, who is 58. Well, Lamar, there are no easy answers to this, but there will be a much easier answer. as it changes radically when a new test will be available late in 2016. For now, let me tell you about the information on the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force screening guidelines that came out in sometime in the recent past. I think it came out in 2012, but it's been updated. And what they said is no PSA test, and because of that, PSA tests have decreased almost 20%, and the diagnosis of prostate cancer dropped about 25%. That's conversely to, since ACA is in, there's a 25% increase in cervical cancer diagnoses in young women. And that's, again, we're testing more. We aren't testing as much with PSA. What does it mean? It means some men who would have been diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer aren't getting it, and they're not getting the surgery and the complications from the surgery. But if they would have it, they're not getting the cure. So the best guess is there are 1,200 additional deaths from prostate cancer down the road because of the lack of the PSA test. Not huge, but significant. Conversely, they aren't getting the complications. Now, what's the new test that's coming down the road? Oh, let me first answer your question, Lamar, about active surveillance. What active surveillance means is that you keep getting tested and watch for changes. Keep getting your doctor examining you, watch for changes, but you change your diet? No, none of the five food felons. No simple sugars, no syrups, no simple carbohydrates, and you've really got to be really good with those because sugar feeds tumors. Then no saturated fat, no trans fat, walk 10,000 steps a day, manage stress by meditating twice a day and avoiding toxins like tobacco. You do that, 80-90% reduction in that prostate cancer getting out of control. What's the new test? Well, the new test is, in fact, a really interesting thing because instead of just measuring the PSA levels, that protein level, what the new test does is it measures the folding. It measures that, if you will, the level of the prostate specific antigen. That's that PSA protein. But not just measuring the protein, but measuring its folding on one another. That is, how much it folds on one another and its specific folding. And that, instead of being a pretty good test like the PSA is, or a pretty average or bad test that is has a lot of false positives with a carcinoma CEA for ovarian cancer, the folding for the CEA or for the PSA is supposed to be over 99% both specific and sensitive. It picks up tumors, and it doesn't pick up people who don't have tumors or other conditions. So that's where we're going. We'll be right back. We have a great guest coming up, Proteinaholic by Garth Davis. Our obsession with meat is killing us and what we can do about it. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Her Radio with Michelle King Robeson.
I'm going to be totally honest because that's all I know how to do and my life is an open book anyway. Give me a tip to develop a deeper connection with myself, right? That's what I'm struggling with.
The short answer is to do less in general and make it more meaningful.
And Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
My friend and colleague, Dr. Regina Benjamin, who's the 18th Surgeon General of the United States.
Thank you for having me and thank you both for what you do to get the health messages and public health messages out there.
The naked truth about women.
Michelle, what comes to your mind?
Friendships.
Oh, okay.
Healthy women cultivating friendships. I mean,
we bond.
Right, exactly.
We bond like there's no tomorrow, and it's so healthy, and there's so much scientific research.
Listen live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
For more than 45 years, Barbara's has created delicious cereals and snacks made with simple, wholesome ingredients you and your family can trust. Barbara's breakfast and snack items are lower sugar, higher protein options, free of artificial ingredients and colors, with the majority of its product profile non-GMO Project Verified. Committed to better health and better taste, Barbara's gives families real, wholesome food that's tasty too. Check out all of the products at Barbara's.com.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This section is spectacular, or promises to be, because we've got Garth Davis, a bariatric surgeon. Garth, where are you from?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
And where did you grow up? Have you always been in Texas?
I've always been a Texan. Grew up in, I was actually born in South Africa, grew up in Texas, did my surgery training up in Michigan, but then came back home.
And the book is called Proteinaholic, which has it's not protein that's bad per se, but certain kinds of protein that are bad. Or is it all protein, Garth?
I kind of came at this conclusion after years of research, and that the book's filled with research. And the research does tend to blame animal protein more than protein in general. But part of my goal of the book was, because there's a lot of vegetarians and vegans that don't eat, you know, animal protein, but they still constantly worry about protein. So they drink the protein shakes and the protein bars, and they're getting away from what the real source of health is, which is the actual fruits and vegetables. So the book was somewhat written to allay fears that you need these excess amounts of protein that are typically given, typically recommended by doctors.
So in the book you talk about the average diet has about 102 grams of protein a day in it, as I remember from
men.
One of the chapters. I can't remember where it was in the book. The book is loaded with facts, interestingly, and I mean, well written, so you should feel really proud of it. But I do remember that the average, I think it was American, gets 102 grams of protein a day. How much do we need?
Well, if you look at the RDA was arrived at it with some really good studies, actually. And I talk
so
about
RDA
that quite
is
the recommended daily allowance.
Recommended daily amount.
Yeah. And the recommended daily allowance that we use in America is 0.8 grams per kilogram of lean body weight, not you know, your weight when you step on a scale, but actually what your muscle weighs. And that amounts to, for a woman, about 46 grams of protein a day, and for a man, 56 grams of protein a day. Now, what you got to remember about that number, that is not the minimum number of protein you need. That is probably the optimal number of protein, amount of protein that you need. That was based on taking what the average amount of protein would be needed to not go catabolic, and then do two standard deviations above, meaning they wanted to make sure that whatever they recommended would be enough protein for no problems in 98% of Americans. And
we're getting about twice as much protein as we needed. We're talking with Dr. Garth Davis, a bariatric surgeon from Houston, Texas, who's talking about the book Proteinaholic and the information in it. And so we get a little too much protein. And tell me what, if you will, why is that bad for us?
Why is that bad? Right. Well, I mean, there's two kind of reasons that it's bad for you. Number one, the number one thing we doctors tell patients is eat your protein first. This is, and dietitians and all kinds of stuff. And so when my patients are going constantly looking for protein, I mean, we eat, you know, like you said, double the amount of protein, but people still think they need even more protein, as if they, you know, went three times the recommended daily value, that would be somehow be better. In eating all this protein, they're eating lots of fake proteins and then lots of meat, because in America, protein usually just translates to meat. And then they're not eating the things that they should be eating, the fruits and the vegetables and the beans. I tell people to eat an apple for a snack, and I look at their food logs when they come back, and there's a protein shake in the snack section. I'm like, why a protein shake? Well, I thought I needed more protein. There's no protein in an apple, so the apple isn't eaten. But then there's some intrinsically bad things that happen with excess protein consumption, especially animal protein consumption. And that is that with animal proteins, there's quite a bit of sulfonic acid amino acids that create acidosis in the blood. They do stimulate IGF-1, which has been very correlated with cancer. It also comes, animal protein is loaded with heme iron, and the heme iron is infamous for oxidizing fats and causing damage to beta cells. It increases C-reactive protein, increases inflammatory mediators, it creates N-nitroso compounds. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
So there's some problems with the animal protein.
Right.
How about vegetable, or, in other words, I found that peas have a lot. I eat peas, believe it or not, as a major part of my diet, as well as other things like walnuts.
Right.
Is there a problem with getting too much vegetable protein?
There has been no studies that I saw that showed that. Now, one of the things we were worried about was IGF-1, and so there was concern that soy and some of the other complete...
So IGF-1, let's say it stands for insulin growth factor 1.
Right.
And what it does is it's increased when you have protein. And does it increase with vegetable protein as well as animal protein?
It does in certain vegetable proteins that are more complete amino acids, like soy. But the interesting thing was, so this created a big scare and said, well, maybe, you know, we're eating too much animal protein. But a lot of the proteins you get with high IGF-1, which is like colon cancer and prostate cancer, didn't seem to be occurring in vegetarians or vegans, and in fact was lower than the average person. And what they found is that the soy protein does increase IGF-1, but it also increases IGF-1 binding protein, so a protein that kind of blocks the effect of IGF-1. And so I think that dual effect, plus the, you know, antioxidants that come with foods that have plant protein in them, seems to take away any negative risk factor. So to answer your question simply, no, I don't think there's any problem with plant proteins at all.
And now this book, you wrote this book really in, in response to both your feeling that people were eating too much protein, but in addition to, you're a bariatric surgeon. So is this a problem of that people gain weight because of too much protein?
Yeah, you know, I see patients coming to see me, you know, for years, and actually I wrote a book before where I told people eat a lot of protein because that's kind of what we were learned in bariatrics without much study of the actual effects of protein in the diet. And so I told people to eat protein, but I see people coming in and they're gaining weight, and I'm like, what are you eating? Well, I'm eating chicken. I eat, you know, 2 to 3 chicken breasts a day. I have eggs. It's just constant, you know, almost sounds like the list of a slaughterhouse, and that's what they're eating every day. And they're sick and they're overweight, and it's true of the country in general. If you look at our protein consumption compared to the rest of the world, and our health compared to the rest of the world, and in fact, the EPIC study, which is this huge study done in Europe, where they followed 500,000 people for 12 years, and have really looked at diet and how it affects weight, and found that the more animal protein people eat, the more weight they gain. And in fact, chicken was the most associated with weight gain in those studies. And chickens.
In fact, that's what Julia L. has just emailed us and asked. And by the way, anyone can ask us questions. Call in 844-305-7800 or email at gmail at udocs, UDOCS at gmail.com. Julia emailed in and said, what about, Dr. Mike, you like salmon and chicken? Why is that bad too? Is salmon bad and is chicken bad?
Chicken seems to be pretty bad. So with chicken, we're seeing high rates of estrogen being present in the chicken, and that's certainly, I talk about this in a bit in the book, but causes precocious puberty in kids and can contribute to lymphoma and certainly breast cancer. Fish has not looked so bad, and there's a lot of debates over why it has not looked so bad. The omega-3s in fish may be the big part of that. I will tell you that farmed fish don't seem to have the same effects as, like, wild Atlantic salmon, because in the farmed fish, they're not eating the algae that creates this omega-3. The only problem I see with fish is that, and I put my patients, I have them eat fish, but I try to really limit it to twice a week. The reason being that I'm seeing a lot of heavy metal with them. I'm seeing mercury levels rising quite a bit in patients that are eating a lot of fish because of the contamination.
Yes, Dr. Davis. So I should say that the good news about salmon and ocean trout is they haven't learned to eat corn or soy meal, so even farmed ones get a lot of the much healthier algae, but only those two fish. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Garth Davis, D-A-V-I-S, proteinaholic. Our obsession with meat is killing us, and what we...
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Being your best means nothing slows you down. Whether it's a hard day of chores around the house, that weekend marathon, or smashing through a workout, one thing remains the same. Recovery must occur before you can be your best. Michael's Recovery Zyme supports the body's natural inflammatory response, resulting in greater muscle recovery. Recovery Zymes is the missing link you need to be your best. Recovery Zymes' formulation of systemic enzymes and herbs, coupled with an advanced enteric coating, allows Recovery Zymes trips to work where needed, the muscles and tissues. Our team at Michael's also uses these formulations, so we price our products to be cost-effective because we believe that excellent health should be affordable. Recovery Zymes is the highest potency and most affordable muscle recovery formulation in the market. Elite athletes and weekend warriors all agree. Systemic enzymes are the missing link. Michael's Recovery Zymes provides them so you can move forward and achieve your goals. You provide the passion, we'll provide the support.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents.
You should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends.
You have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And we've been talking with Garth Davis, who's a bariatric, that means obesity-relating surgeon in Houston, Texas. The book is Proteinaholic. You can get a preview, sneak preview at Proteinaholic.com. Or on Amazon.com. And of course, there actually is a Dr. Garth Davis writes a Facebook blog every day at Dr. Dr. Garth, G-A-R-T-H, no punctuation, at Facebook. Dr. Garth at Facebook. So, Dr. Davis, if we have been doing too much or even How much is too much animal fat? Should we cut it out totally?
If you look at the studies, and I go through this in the book, the people that live the longest and the people that seem to have the healthiest lives do tend to be the vegans. And in fact, if you look at the Seventh Day Adventists, where they have the highest rate of veganism, and you compare their vegans versus their vegetarians versus their sometimes meat eaters, the vegans do considerably better in cardiac health and long-term longevity. So ideally, as little as you can tolerate, but a little bit from time to time. I mean, I think the WHO had some labeled meat as a carcinogen, but said, you know, you can have a little bit once a day, but much less than what we're eating right now. I think the problem is that when you look at the data, we eat, you know, we're really focusing on protein, like I said, and we eat about 45% of our calories from animal products. If you look around the world, and then about another 45% of what we eat or more is processed carbs, and so we're only getting about 5 to 8% of our calories from fruits and vegetables. And what my real goal is not necessarily to turn people vegetarian or or vegan, but to get them to change the way they look at their plate and to understand that the healthiest cultures in the world eat 80% of their calories from fruits or vegetables, and that's what we need to be doing. Instead of eating meat at every single meal and instead of making meat the star of the plate, meat should be a side dish, a once-in-a-while meal, and really the bulk of food should come from grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, and seeds.
Now, someone named Lee Lang has written us and said, what about grains that have a lot of protein, like quinoa?
I think those are great.
Not healthy?
No, it actually is very healthy. And what we found is that in grains like quinoa and a lot of the plant-based proteins, they have a different amino acid pattern. And they tend not to have certain amino acids that we've now associated with disease process, such as leucine, alanine, and methionine. And these amino acids that they have in surplus, plant foods have in a low amount, which it tends to be the exact right amount. So I find that the quinoa-based proteins and grain-based proteins are an excellent source of protein. But again, what I don't want people doing is counting protein grams. I mean, I tell my patients, just forget counting the number of protein grams you're getting. Eat a varied fruit and vegetable diet, because as soon as they start questioning the protein and start changing their diet to try to address protein, they tend to start making bad food choices.
And so animal food is bad food choices. What else is saturated fat, for instance?
Yeah,
the
saturated fat.
The question always comes out, what about coconut oil or palm oil?
Yeah. You know, I tell patients, so saturated fat has definitely been a problem. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, media hype, but it's certainly not substantiated in the research about saturated fat. Coconut oil is a little bit different because the saturated fat tends to be more of a lauric acid and stearic acid, which aren't as damaging or don't raise cholesterol as much as the palmitic acid you get from the typical animal meats. Here's my thing with coconut oil. All oils are very, very calorie dense. So in my population, where I'm dealing with people that are overweight, I say cut out oil. It's not necessary. It's a processed food, and it's very high in calories. If you're not struggling to lose weight or if you even want to gain weight, oils are fine, but use them in moderation. Don't overdo them. And if you're using coconut oil, I wouldn't use coconut oil if you actually had heart disease or high cholesterol, because it will contribute to high cholesterol.
Now, so give us a typical day of food that you would have.
Sure.
You yourself.
I've got two main breakfasts, or three main breakfasts that I'll do. I either do oatmeal with berries and some ground flaxseed, or I'll do muesli, which is a cereal with, you know, different grains and raw oats, with an almond milk. Or I'll do I use toasted Ezekiel bread with almond butter and strawberries. And then usually I also add like a grapefruit or an orange. For lunch, I typically have pretty heavy on the beans and salad. So I usually go to the salad bar and put chickpeas, maybe get a soup or a potato and load that up with vegetables and beans. My snack and my midday tends to be like an apple and some almonds or walnuts. That's my kind of favorite snack, but I also do hummus and carrots and things like that. And then dinner, we get a little bit different with dinner. I mean, the other night we did lentil tacos, or we did cabbage wrapped bean and potatoes and different salads. So we get a little bit. I do a lot of pastas with, you know, a whole grain pasta with primavera with red sauce, or kind of a Mexican beans and rice and
so it's basically you're having vegetables and some whole grains.
Yes.
And a little bit of healthy, of non-fat containing sauces on them.
Yes. And so at the end of the day, I like to think to myself, did I get a whole fruit in there at some point, like an apple, an orange, a banana? Did I get berries in? Did I get a handful of nuts in? Did I get a lot? I don't like counting anything, but if anyone's going to count anything, to me, it's fiber. I want to get over 35 grams of fiber a day.
And now, are there, now you say, what about who needs extra protein? Do athletes need extra protein, or does someone who's got had a gastric bypass, for example, need extra protein?
So the gastric bypass definitely do not need extra protein. The gastric bypass is not a protein malabsorbing surgery. You absorb protein just fine. So I tell my gastric bypass patients the same thing I tell everybody else. So we just don't worry about protein. Eat these foods that I tell you about, you'll get enough protein. Athletes do need more protein. How much more they need is very, very complicated and hard to tell because there's so much variance between people and sport. It tends to look like endurance athletes need the most protein, not bodybuilders, interestingly enough. But the studies are fairly clear that extra amount of protein they need is not much more than what we're already getting. So it tends to be 1 gram per kilogram lean body weight a day instead of the 0.8. Probably Great. Takes care of 95% of athletes.
We've been talking with Garth Davis, D-A-V-I-S, author of Proteinaholic. You can go to proteinaholic.com and get this book. It's a wonderful book and some great recipes in the back. Garth Davis, thanks very much. We've been listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.